Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Time for your questions, our answers. If you've got a question, we've got an answer for you. You can send that over via email, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk to us, you can send that over via phone call to the Proclamation Goods Hotline, brought to you by Proclamation. The Proclamation Hotline, brought to you by Proclamation Goods. That number is 1-800-927-SHOW. 1-800-927-7469.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made right here in the United States. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stockpot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stockpot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with a versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supplies limited, so order yours now at proclamationgoods.com.
All right, let's go to the hotline. We had a question. Listening to us on the Roar of the Rockies, 1360 AM over in Colorado.
My name is Marilyn, and I have seen my first two grasshoppers, and I'm wondering if they're are conditions in my garden that are bringing them in? Have they been in the soil? I'm not a fully organic gardener, and I don't want to use poison to get rid of them. I'll live with it. But I'm just wondering, is there something I can do now? I'm in a zone 5 to take care of not having the big amount of grasshoppers this year. So thank you for your program. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for listening. And we do have an answer for you in regards to your grasshopper concerns.
Absolutely. So you can grow a number of plants that grasshoppers do not like. And so this includes anything from dianthus, lilac, forsythia, crepe myrtle, moss, rose, verbena, salvia, sage, juniper, Artemisia, and jasmine. You can also plant grasses around the perimeter of your garden, very tall grass, and a lot of times they will feast and hide in that tall grass as opposed to feasting and hiding in your garden. You can get garlic spray. This will, you spray it on around kind of where you see the grasshoppers, and then that will help get rid of them. You can also use neem oil. You want to make sure it is like cold pressed neem oil. That's another good alternative. And then you can also use diatomaceous earth, especially if you do find that they are feasting on certain areas of the garden. And then there is also some not so, you know, natural ways.
Happy stuff.
But it looks like that there are a few different alternatives that you can use, especially the tall grasses. They will You'll find that they'll be more attracted to those than anything else.
And a few grasshoppers are not bad. It's a balance. So, you know, if you see a whole, you know, field full of them, then there's some situations in which you can take in order to get that back in check. All right, Holly, this question is sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com. Any reason I can't fill the bottom, or I should not fill the bottom of my raised bed with pine needles? Our boxes are about 20 inches tall.
Yeah, so you can fill the bottom with pine needles. It won't affect the soil, as pine needles will neutralize the pH by the time they turn into soil.
And that can be a number of years. But, yeah, go for it. Nothing wrong with it. All right. I had a question here. I am a gardener in northwest suburbs of Chicago, Holly, and I started my onions from seed indoors in late January and transplanted them in the garden in early April. The greens are growing beautifully, and the plants appear to be very healthy. I trimmed the greens down about 4 inches to encourage the growth, bulb growth, and I have read and heard from many other gardeners the greens The greens have shot back up within 2 weeks, and I have not noticed much bulb development. When should I expect those bulbs to start developing? How long does it take for the bulbs to develop? And is there anything I can do to encourage that? They're getting about 8 hours of sunlight, and they in the high heat. Love the show. Any advice would be much appreciated. Well, we thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
And there's a couple of different factors here.
Yeah. So just want to say hi, Chi-Town neighbor friend down in the south. So there may be a few factors. One is that you might have planted short day long onions or midday onions, and you need to plant long day onions in the north for bulbing or in our general region. If you do not have long day variety, you will get little to no bulbs. If you did plant the long day variety, you will start to see bulb growth when the daylight, like right about now, reaches the 14, 16 hours a day. You want to keep them watered. And otherwise, yeah, that's pretty much it.
The concern I have in that description of that question is they're only getting 8 hours of sunlight.
Yeah.
Onions are a very unique crop that are very sensitive to that day length, that light availability. Even though you're getting 14, 16 hours of daylight, if they're not getting direct sunlight, it can greatly affect the size of the bulb and when that bulb begins to develop and how large it gets. So those are some things. If you're having issues with onions, what variety? What are you growing, short day, long day, or neutral day? That is typically one of the biggest oopses or uneducated or unknowing reasons of why you're not getting good onions.
So the next question is, I have learned that green radish pods are edible outside of eating them raw. What else can you do with them?
Well, there's several different things. And the radish pods, as you let your radish go to seed or as it goes to bolt because of the day length and the heat, they go to flower and they begin to put like pea pod seed pods on, and if you allow them to go through its complete cycle, they will dry into a paper-like pod. If you catch them early, you can eat them. They taste exactly like the bulb. There are some varieties. Rat tail is one of them, in which they are specifically grown for that seed pod edible portion of it. They don't produce a bulb at all, but your normal champion radish, Easter egg radishes, left alone long enough, they will produce a pod, and you can consume it raw, or people will pickle them. You can put it in stir fry salad. You can dip them in hummus, and you can put them in like burritos, taco burritos, that type of thing. Saute them in any type of Asian dish is, instead of using edamame or immature soybean pods, you can substitute that for radish pods.
Correct. So our next question is that you, we have a listener.
From the Roar of the Rockies, KHNC 1360 AM, another one from out there. How you doing out there in Denver?
Here's a question. Hi, Joey and Holly. How do I eliminate Russian sage? It's taking over. Help, please.
All right. There's four steps in which you can do it. One, overwater. That excessive water will cause bad health to the plant and root rot and poor root development, and it will eventually kill the plant and die, and you can remove the stump when it dies, typically over winter. You can cut it back to the ground and then moisten the soil around the stump to loosen that up, and you can dig the stump out, discard the stump. Don't put it in the compost because it can grow again. You want to throw it in the trash or burn it. Let's see. You can treat the plant with an herbicide. Not recommended by us, but if you need to use a harsh chemical to spray the plant to make sure it's dead, if you choose not to use horticultural-grade vinegar or a weed killer such as Natural Greens products at naturalgreen.com. They have a safe weed killer there. You can remove the suckers and offshoots that spring up in the area and try to stress the roots out and pull the suckers manually, putting them in the trash where the suckers were most aggressive. You can also treat it with a herbicide. So that's some things there, Holly. We appreciate you listening. We're sorry that you have this issue. Too bad it's not like thousands of tomatoes popping up all over the place.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Invasive plants can be very difficult to deal with and not always the best. Sometimes you just have to.
I bet with all those, if they all go to flower, the amount of bees and pollinators that come in.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah,
for sure.
Alternative,
a positive. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.